Father, we are just grateful once again for yet another day that you've given us to come together in prayer. We lift up your name, we magnify you, we glorify you, we exalt you. We declare your righteousness, we declare your beauty and your glory. And Father, we know that as we are coming into prayer tonight, we are not coming in our own name. We're coming in the name of our Lord and Savior. We're not coming in our own strength, nor are we coming in our own righteousness, but we are coming in His. And Father, we know that you have made us kings and priests unto you, O God. And as kings and priests, we do not come empty-handed before the mercy seat, but we come by the way of the blood. And we say, God, tonight, hear our prayer and attend to our supplication. Let something, God, of significance take place tonight as we pray. Bring back our hearts, our minds, and our spirits into divine alignment with your purposes, your plans, your designs, and your will. Father, we say, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. Move as God has desired. Shift things that God has desired to shift. Change things around us that God has desired to change. Strengthen us in the areas that God has desired to strengthen us. Break down the things that must be broken tonight and establish those things that must be established for the glory of our God. Our lives are open before you. Our hearts are open before you. Examine our spirits. Examine our hearts. Bring us to a place of repentance that we can be brought back into alignment with God for your glory. And for your glory alone, Father, I declare that you are the all-sufficient God. You are the one who declared by your word, which we believe, that you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory, that you are the all-sufficient God, and you are the healer, you are the deliverer, you are the Savior. Therefore, Father, we declare that any need that is on the prayer line tonight, God, you are able to meet. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we have ever thought, above all that we could ever think, and above all that we could ever comprehend. We thank you for the abundance that is coming, abundance of revelation, abundance of strength, abundance of restoration. We give you glory. We thank you for their families, for the work that you are doing in their midst. We thank you, God, for the relationships you are restoring, for the breached walls that you are repairing. We thank you, God, for your word that is preserving their homes. We thank you for your word that is preserving their marriages. We thank you for your word that is preserving their families. We thank you, O God, for your word which is sustaining our lives. We thank you, God, for the daily bread you have brought into our lives. Surely we know that men cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We thank you for the life-sustaining word. We thank you for the life-elevating word. We thank you, O God, for the expectation and the faith that we receive through your word. Thank you for opening up our eyes that we may see that there are greater things that heaven has ordained for us. Thank you for opening up our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is declaring. Father, when this hour is said and done, all glory and all honor and all praise will be given to your name for who you are and for all that you have done. We give you praise. We give you glory. Touch every man on the prayer line tonight, every woman tonight. Let there be an impartation of the things, all things that pertain to life. Let there be an impartation of hope, an impartation of faith, an impartation of anointing, a breakthrough that is going to come into their lives, O God, as a result of them yielding to your Spirit and coming into alignment. I thank you, God, for the glass ceilings you are breaking in their lives, for the limitations that you are causing them to overcome. Your word says, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. I thank you for the Spirit dimension that is causing us to do great and mighty things on behalf of our God. We thank you for the Spirit who is releasing the gifts upon your sons and your daughters, the Spirit who is activating our destiny, our purpose. We thank you, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I will read from verse number 8 to verse number 13. And then we are going to jump over and find ourselves somewhere in verse number 33, somewhere there. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." That's Matthew 6, verse number 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them," which is the Pharisees. Pray, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Matthew 6:33 simply states this: "For all these things," the Gentiles, verse number 32, "For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse number 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Somebody say amen. It says God knows that you have a need for all these things. Earlier on it said God knows all the things you need before you even ask. But it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And the structure of the prayer in Matthew, the earlier verse, verse number 9 to verse number 13, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You see what it says? "Your kingdom come." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It says, "Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want to speak briefly tonight about what I want to say, the most powerful entity, the most powerful kingdom that is ever known to man. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God. It is the most powerful thing that you can ever encounter. There is no man, no group of people, no generations that can put together a nation or a kingdom that is as powerful as the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there are angels, and the kingdom of God, there is power. In the kingdom of God, there is the Spirit of God, there is the righteousness of God, there is the goodness of God, there is the grace of God that is sufficient for all men. In the kingdom of God, there is abundance. In the kingdom of God, there is a plethora of resources. In the kingdom of God, there is revelation. In the kingdom of God, there is destiny. In the kingdom of God, there is purpose. In the kingdom of God, there is design. In fact, the kingdom of God owns everything in the earth. Anybody hearing me? The kingdom of God owns everything in the earth. The kingdom of God is able to elevate men from parts unknown to put them in platforms or on platforms where they can be known throughout all creation. And the kingdom of God, its function and its operation is not restricted by time. It is not governed by physical or biological shortcomings or boundaries. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, which God has desired to make you a part of the citizenry. The Bible says God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In this kingdom, there is only but one king, and His name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Only one king. His name is Jesus. His name is above any other name. And in His name, there is made available healing, strength, and restoration in His name. That's just a few things, but there are many things that are available in the kingdom of God. And God is saying, when you pray, you have to pray for this kingdom to come. When the disciples were being given the instruction as to how to go out into the earth, they were to carry the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means repentance is required for the kingdom. I don't really want to labor those points, because I know that all the people that are on the prayer line tonight are seasoned saints of the Most High God. And you know the significance and the importance of repentance, baptism, and all the transforming, the changing, and the renewing of your mind. But what I want to lay out tonight, just before we get into our prayer, I want us to understand that the kingdom of God does not come by observation, but the kingdom of God comes by revelation. I want us to understand that the kingdom of God is not of this world. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to repeat it again. The kingdom of God, that's according to Romans 14, verse number 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And we are also told that the kingdom of God, as I say, does not come by observation. You can find that in Luke chapter number 17, verse number 20. That it does not come by observation. For you to enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. John chapter number 3, verse number 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then verse number 5 and 6, he begin to elaborate again. There is one, there is seeing the kingdom. Somebody say seeing the kingdom. We say it does not come by observation. So it says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And verse number five says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you must be born again. But I did say that I'm talking about the most potent, the most powerful entity that can ever be known to man, being the kingdom of God. I want to let you know that the kingdom of God wants to be established in you and through you. Somebody say amen. The kingdom of God wants to be established in you and through you. The Spirit of God is moving in the earth, empowering you to do what God has said you must do. The kingdom of God is moving with such power and with such force that great things are literally happening in the earth. Those that don't have eyes to see won't be able to see what the Spirit of God is doing. But I want to let you know that the Spirit of God is doing great and mighty things in the earth. That the kingdom of God literally is being established in our midst. It is a viable entity that once men embrace it, it is literally going to change their lives. Now, in this kingdom, there is a requirement. We said you must be born again to enter into it. But when you enter into this kingdom, there is a lifestyle that must be facilitated in you. There is a life that you must live in accordance with. There is a way that you must conduct yourself. There is a way that you must apply yourself. There are certain disciplines that must be cultivated in you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you are going to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, you have to have faith. If you are going to be a citizen in the kingdom of God, you have to live uprightly before God. You have to live in a way that does not bring objection from God, but live in a way that is pleasing to God. You cannot live your life in whichever way you want. You must live your life in accordance with the Word of God. You must live your life in accordance to what is right before God. When you live your life in accordance to what is right before God, it may not be acceptable in the sight of many, but how many of us know that as long as what I do is acceptable in the sight of God, then it is all right with me. Now, we mentioned about living your life in a certain way, certain disciplines. I want to let you know that God is expecting us to be a people of prayer. God is expecting us not just to be people that open up our mouths and say words, but people that literally believe in the power of the prayer that we pray. Somebody say amen. There is power in the prayer that we pray. There is power in the prayer that we pray. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is a qualification. Number one, the prayer, not just any prayer, but the prayer of a righteous man will avail much. Righteousness is a requirement. But we are required, as I said, to be a people that have faith, knowing that if we do not have that faith, we are not pleasing to God. But how many of us know that faith can move mountains? Faith can move mountains. Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith lets us know that there are some things that are practically impossible in the realm of man, but they are practically possible in the realm of the Spirit. For there is nothing that is hard for God to do, and there is nothing that is impossible for God to do. So as we pray tonight, I want to let you know that God does not change. If God was able to do great things in the days of old, God is still able to do great things in our season. And I'm saying all this to raise up a level of faith in us, a level of faith in us to say, God, you are the healer, you are the deliverer, you are the Savior. God is able He has not changed. Somebody say, God has not changed. God has not changed. And means God is still able to do everything that He said He's able to do in our lives. And as we pray tonight, I want to let you know that whatever you pray and believe and ask in His name, it shall be done for you. God is still able to heal. God is still able to save. God is still able to write a work in your life that is going to astonish you. I want to let you know that our God is a supernatural God. Somebody say supernatural. Our God is a supernatural God. Our God is a miracle working God. Our God is a miracle working God. I'm going to say that again. Our God is a miracle working God. Our God's spirit is moving and He is giving gifts unto man. He is teaching them how to administrate the gifts that God has given unto him. Now, what I want us to pray for tonight, whatsoever you have been asking God for, tonight I am believing that God is opening a release in the heavens, that you are about to receive your breakthrough. You are about to receive a miracle. You are about to see a wonder being written in your life. Somebody say amen if you believe that God has not left you behind. God has not forgotten about you. God is about to write a wonder in your life. Father, I declare that you are the healer. Anybody who needs healing tonight, God, let healing virtue flow in the name of Jesus. Touch their place of infirmity, where there is a sickness and wherever there is a disease. I declare that by the stripes on the back of our Lord and Savior, healing was purchased for us. By faith now, God, we appropriate and apply it into our lives. We command every sickness to leave. Every part of our body that is operating out of order, by the authority of the blood of Jesus, we command it now to come into order. Every muscle that is not functioning the way that it should in their body, I declare that you are going to come into order. For our God did not design imperfection. I command the manifestation of the perfection of God in your body, in your kidneys. I command them to function at their maximum capacity. For your lungs, I command the healing virtue of God to flow, that you are going to be breathing at the required volume in the name of Jesus. I command every pain that is in your body to leave you now. It has no right, it has no power to remain in your body by the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to let you know that the blood of Jesus still has power. I'm going to say it again. I want to remind you that the blood of Jesus still has power, and that power is available to you as a citizen of the kingdom of God. The blood of Jesus is available to you as a citizen of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, the 24th verse, the blood of Jesus is speaking yet better things concerning you. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and the blood of Jesus is saying that you are saved. The blood of Jesus is saying that you are powerful. The blood of Jesus is saying that you are delivered. The blood of Jesus is saying that you are healed. Therefore, receive your healing now by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that whatever circumstance you have found yourself over the past 3 months, tonight is a night of the turnaround, that the blood of Jesus is speaking that the season of affliction in your life is coming to an end. Therefore, we come into agreement with that word, for it is the will of God concerning you that you live a life of joy, you live a life of peace. Therefore, Father, tonight we declare whatever assault has been brought by the enemy, we stand now, God, as a wall, and we say by the power of our God, the enemy will not enter in. This affliction has come to an end in the name of Jesus. Their joy is being restored. Their peace is being restored. When they go to sleep at night, there will be at peace, there will be at ease, because the season has just changed in the name of Jesus. And Father, there is somebody who has been standing on a door, knocking on that door, because you promised you were going to open that door, and the enemy has sent a word of discouragement their way, telling them that they are knocking on the wrong door. We declare that, God, you said, if we knock, God, it shall be opened. This door, God, you promised to open, you are opening it now. And your word says, oh God, whatever door you open, no man shall shut. Therefore, we declare, oh God, tonight that this door is open in the name of Jesus. And they will not be denied entry, because heaven has given them the access pass in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Family discord, I declare that God is bringing healing and restoration. That God is bringing peace in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. 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 Father, where the spirit of jealousy has been desiring to find a foothold in their family, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. And we say to our adversary, may the Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. May the Lord rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Their family is covered by the blood of Jesus. You have no legal right to mess around with their family. For the glory of our God in heaven, we speak now a new season of love, a new season of restoration in their family. For the glory of our Father in heaven, it is as we have declared. Somebody say amen. It is as we have declared. Now here is the thing. I sincerely feel that the weight of the kingdom of God is coming to displace some things in your life that are not of God. The weight of the kingdom of God is coming into your life to displace some things that are not of God. But I hear the Spirit saying expressly, lift up your heads, all ye gates. Be ye lifted up, all ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may enter in. Understand, the kingdom of God is not of this world. It is a kingdom of glory. And in that kingdom we say there is only but one king. He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, according to Psalm 24. And he's saying, lift up your heads, all ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? It says, the Lord strong and mighty. He is mighty in battle. That means the kingdom of God is coming to display some things, but you have to open up the gates that the King of glory may enter in. Whenever the King of glory enters in, wherever the king is, his kingdom is present. I'm going to say that again. Wherever the king is, his kingdom is present. And wherever the king is and his kingdom is present, the resources of the kingdom are present. Somebody say hallelujah. So we say the weight of the kingdom of God is about to invade your space. You are required to open up the gates that the King of glory may enter in. And The King of Glory enters in. Whatever is available in the kingdom of glory is made available to you. Therefore, now I declare that your financial situation is about to change because there is wealth and resources in the kingdom of glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the condition for having all these things following you. All these things being added unto you, the condition is you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? We already said it is not meat and drink, but it is joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. It resides in the third power dimension, or the power dimension of the kingdom of God. When he was speaking to Zechariah, he said, tell my servant, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, making a distinction of the three dimensions of power, which is might, power, and by my spirit. So God is saying, I am going to come in the third dimension, the power dimension, the most powerful dimension of power in the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost. And in that Holy Ghost, that's where the kingdom of God abides, in joy, righteousness, and peace. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the dominion of God. Seek ye first the rulership of Christ over your life. Somebody say hallelujah. Seek ye first the rulership of Christ over your life. If Christ reigns over your life, the resources of the kingdom of God are made available to you. Here's the thing. The Bible says that there was war that broke out in the heavens. And in that war that broke out in the heavens, Lucifer and his angels were defeated. Somebody say hallelujah. Lucifer and his angels were defeated. So when they come here on earth and begin to terrorize the sons and daughters of God, God is saying the same principle that is in heaven where he was defeated. Those resources that were used to defeat the enemy are now made available to you. I declare that now the same angels that fought against the kingdom of darkness in heaven are now warring on your behalf. God is about to write some great victories in your life in this season, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I declare that you are not going to be defeated. You are not going to be sorrowful, because the angels of God are fighting on your behalf at the command of God. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel that God is releasing angels. They are beginning to rearrange some things in your life. They are taking some territory that was taken by the kingdom of darkness in your life. Today I declare that there is an enlargement of your territory, because the angels of God are fighting on your behalf. I declare that some generational patterns of iniquity are being broken, because God is dealing with the enforcement demonic spirits. They are being uprooted tonight in the name of Jesus. Where you've been suffering cycles, when you've been losing things, God is saying his angels are fighting for you. Somebody say hallelujah. The angels of God are fighting for you. I'm going to say it again. The angels of God are fighting for you right now. The angels of God are fighting for you right now. The angels of God are fighting on your behalf right now. The angels of God are fighting on your behalf now. Kukapahaya sarabaha rebro. The angels of God are fighting on your behalf, and they are not going to lose this battle concerning you. Therefore, I declare that every enforcement spirit that has been operating in your life is being kicked out now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now watch this. I want to lay this out just for you, just as an insight for you as we pray. In the kingdom of God, there is a court system that is established. I'm going to say it again. In the kingdom of God, there is a court system that is established. There is a throne. There is judgment. There is a prosecutor. But there is also an advocate. Somebody say hallelujah. There's a judge. There is a judge. There is an accuser, a prosecutor, but there is also an advocate. Jesus Christ is your advocate in the courts of heaven. The blood of Jesus is speaking as your advocate. The Spirit of God is making intercession for you on your behalf in the courts of heaven. You are guaranteed to be in victory, but that does not stop the enemy from bringing accusations against you. It does not stop the enemy from bringing accusations against you. But sometimes we forget that the enemy is not just dealing with bringing illegal accusations. Somebody say hallelujah. It doesn't mean he's bringing illegal accusations against you, because the devil knows illegal accusations will not stand. I'm going to say it again. How many of us know that our God is a righteous God? Our God is a just God. Our God knows all things. He sees all things. So when the devil brings a case, how many of us know that a prosecutor really prosecutes a case that he thinks that he knows he will not win? Anybody know that? A prosecutor will not go to court to bring a case that he knows he will not win. So the devil tries to maximize his chances of winning the case against you by bringing you into a place where there is a legal framework or a legal foundation for that accusation. Somebody say hallelujah. There is a legal foundation for that accusation. And the devil says, God, I am going to entice them that they might sin. And through that sin, I have got a legal right to bring this accusation in the courts and prosecute them for what they have done. Anybody hearing me? And God is saying, if you are going to be exonerated, if you are going to be pronounced guilty free, or to be pronounced innocent in the courts of heaven, you have to live righteously before God. Anybody hearing me? That's why it says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to live uprightly before God. But God knows that by yourself, given to your own devices, you will not be able to live uprightly before God. Therefore, God has sent his Spirit to preserve you, to lead you into all truth. God has sent his Spirit to empower you. God has sent his Spirit to give you wisdom to be able to overcome all the tactics of that the enemy is using or is trying to use. Oh God, I feel a preacher rising up in my spirit. But God is saying, I am setting up some things in your life to make sure that as you walk, you are not going to be in a place where you are enticed by the enemy. God declared by his word that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm going to say that again. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means whatever trick the enemy uses to bring you into a place where you work against God, God is saying that weapon, that trick, that wile, that system that has been designed to create a legal framework for the accusation will not prevail against you because God is leading you. Anybody hearing me? Oh God, I feel my something bubbling in my spirit that somebody's beginning to understand that you may be in a place where you have sinned against God, and the accuser of the brethren has brought a case against you in the courts of heaven based on what you have done. But God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean when he says my grace is sufficient for you? God is not saying just sit there and be silent. God is saying open up your mouth and confess your sin. Repent before God, that when that accusation comes, the blood will say, God, the judgment price has been fully paid for. Oh God, bring us to a place of repentance. We know that there is none righteous amongst us, not one. We have sinned against you and against you, O God. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our iniquity. The sins of our fathers, O God, forgive us. The sins of our mothers, God, forgive us. The sins of the generations before us, O God, that have brought, O God, all this upon us. Forgive us, O God. It is us who have sinned against you, O God. Find it in your heart, O God, to forgive us according to your word. If we confess, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Understand, these things here, there is no point there. There is a balance that must take place. Let me put it that way. There is a balance that must take place in this idea of repentance. The Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn man, did not come to condemn the world, but he came to deal with sin. So when you get into a place of confessing your sins, you are not getting into a place of self-condemnation. Anybody hearing me? You are not getting into a place of self-condemnation, but you are getting into a place where you can be upright before God, that when that accusation comes before God, I know that they, oh God, they show to boko ba peri kiaba sharada haya. How many of us know that when you get into the courts, oh God, I feel like I'm doing LA law here tonight in the name of Jesus. When you get into a place where the courts are standing, do you realize that there is a crime that you may have committed or somebody may have committed? And in that particular crime, there is a sentence that must be served. I'm going to preach myself happier, and then before I go to bed, I want to get somebody to a place where they are free tonight. You get into a place where whatever sin you have committed, whatever crime you have committed, there is a statutory price, a statutory sentence that must be served because of the sin. Anybody hearing me? There is a length of time, but you must serve because of the sin that has been committed. Now, when you get into the courts of heaven, because you have made a confession before God, you have repented of your sin, the judgment is pronounced, and that judgment is against you, and that judgment says you must serve the sentence. Oh, God, help me. And it says, because God is just, it says you must serve that sin, but because you have made that confession, because you have repented, oh, God, help me. Oh, the price or the sentence that you were supposed to serve was served on the cross of Calvary. I'm done. The sentence that you were supposed to serve was served on the cross of Calvary. Then they can say, we are commuting your sentence because it has already been served. Oh, kukopaha, rebro sheka dabae kubrom de bekarabahaya, rebro de bekashada babarande bukorobohua. God, just take me to the foot of the cross that I can see kebrosha ta, the pardon of my sin. Iko tosho kobaha, rebron de bekadaha kadaha. I can do my Holy Ghost roller dance right here to know that the devil has no hold on me. Why? Because there is blood on the mercy seat that is crying out, I've been redeemed, made right with God. Therefore, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I declare, because there is blood on the mercy seat, every accusation being raised up against me is a false accusation. God, every accusation being raised up against me, oh God, we take the legal authority by repentance, and we say the blood of Jesus makes a pronouncement that the sentence has been served in the name of Jesus. Oh, Gabrande Kibo Sharabahaya. Father, I declare, God, that every death sentence that the enemy has been seeking against us is being overthrown, because the power of death was broken in the name of Jesus. Shiko Bahai. Father, wherever the enemy is speaking death in any area of our lives, we speak the life of God and life in abundance. Father, where the enemy has been speaking death over our finances, we speak life now in the name of Jesus. Where the enemy has been speaking death in our homes, we reverse it now. We speak life in the name of Jesus, where the enemy has been interceding and praying for death, oh God, in our marriages, we reverse it now. We speak the life and life in abundance in our midst, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we declare that, God, the enemy is not going to have his way. Why? Because our God has prevailed. Our God has prevailed. Listen, there is a higher calling upon our lives. I'm going to say it again. There is a higher calling upon our lives. And the higher calling that is upon our lives is to cry out, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." I say it all that to let you know, to remind you, don't spend your life chasing after things of a lesser value. Don't spend your life chasing after things that are supposed to be chasing after you. Don't spend your life, I'm going to qualify that statement because I know sometimes people get into error. I'm going to qualify that, but don't spend your life pursuing things you are not going to take to heaven with you. However, here's the qualification. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. I know that you are not of this world, but you are in this world. Because you are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness and not pursuing after these things does not mean you should not work. I'm going to qualify it again. Just because you are praying for the kingdom of God to come and for his will to be done does not exempt you from work. You have to operate in the disciplines of the world that you are living in. You are not living by their rules, but you are living by their disciplines. That means you have to get to work on time. God help me, Jesus. You cannot leave work before time. You have to leave work at the appointed time. Why? You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and whatsoever you do it not as unto man, but as unto your God. You serve in excellence in everything that you do. I just qualified that statement for somebody to realize you still have to work on your marriage, even though you are praying for God to sanctify, for God to saturate, for God to preserve. You still have to work at your marriage. Somebody say hallelujah. Never forget how to love. Never forget how to do what you were supposed to do, but do it with a level of excellence that is pleasing to your God. That means you still have to work. And be excellent at what you do. Oh, anybody here? I was talking to somebody this morning. I just want to throw that in there. I was talking to somebody this morning. And I told him, listen, whether you are a saint or a sinner, the rules of accounting are the same. Can I say it again? Whether you are a saint or a sinner, the rules of accounting are the same. Okay? It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or you are an atheist or you are a pagan. Accounting rules are the same. You put a debit, you put a credit. Anybody hearing me? You put a debit, you put a credit. Whether you are a saint or a sinner, what is going to distinguish you is that you do everything in excellence because you are doing it as unto your God. Can I just tell you something? Your job does, the company that you work for does not regard your Christianity or your atheistic perspective as important. I'm going to say it again. In the world right now, they don't pay you because you're a Christian or you're a pagan. They pay you because you do what you do well. We pray for God to elevate us, for God to bring promotion, for God to bring a financial breakthrough, prosperity. But prosperity without hard work is nothing. Oh, man. So what I'm saying is, let thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is coming. It has got some demands upon your life. The kingdom of God is coming. It has got some demands upon your life. And one of the demands is excellence. Is excellence. The most dangerous person to the kingdom of darkness is one who is good at what they do and they serve God. I'm going to say it again. Somebody who is good at what they do and they serve God. Let me give you a biblical example. Daniel was in the midst of a pagan nation. And they all knew that he served God. But they could not kick him out because he was good at what he does. Oh, help me, Jesus. So what I'm just saying is the kingdom of God is coming. Lift up your heads, all your gates. It's the most powerful kingdom. There is an abundance of resources that are available. But those resources don't exempt you from working. You have to work. And when you work, you have to work in excellence. Can I tell you something? I'm going to just jump on a limb right here. I'm almost done, so I can always get away when I offend somebody. Somebody say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If I step on your toes, pray for me and I'll pray for you. You need to practice anyway. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The kingdom of God is moving. It's expanding. It's increasing. We have been told to occupy until it comes. We don't occupy by shouting. We occupy by doing, by representing excellence. Do you realize that sometimes you find it very difficult to work with Christian businesses? I'm going to say it again. Because they do tend to do their work shoddy. But God is looking for excellence. Sometimes it's very difficult to do work for saints. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes it's very difficult to do work for saints because they don't want to pay. They want to be blessed. Can I say it again? They don't want to pay. They want to be blessed. But this is business. Allow me at least to make the decision to bless you or not. You still have to pay. Because it's business. If we are working in an organization, what gives us influence is our level of skill. Anybody hearing me? It's our level of skill. Okay, that means you have to go to school and learn something, but never compromise your Christian values. Never compromise the fact that you are not serving man, but you are serving God. Never compromise that. But do everything in excellence that they will say, I want to know what compels you to operate in such a level of excellence. Then you can say, it is by the power of my God that I can do all things. That becomes the most powerful testimony. Because you do it in excellence and you pray. Father, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done as it is in heaven. Move in might and in power. God, may your children see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in their midst. May they be an oasis of hope in the midst of a desert. May they be a source of comfort in the midst of confusion. Do you know that in the midst of chaos, people gravitate to somebody who brings order? The kingdom of God is in you. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. On your life is the mandate to bring order. On your life is the mandate to bring life. Upon you is the mandate to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Not by just by observation, but by his spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit. And wherever you are, Whatever you do, do it in excellence and see God begin to bless you in a way that you've never imagined before, because your conduct is bringing glory to His name. I know in church, listen, I know we can pray up a storm. Anybody hearing? We can pray up a storm. We can pray up a storm, but as long as you are being late for work every day, you'll be fired. We can pray for divine protection, but the devil is bringing accusation against you. They are always late for work. They steal from work. How can God bless you when the prosecutor has an airtight case against you because you haven't repented and you are doing all those different things? The kingdom of God is a serious entity. And the kingdom of God is driven by the Spirit. Okay, anybody hearing me? The kingdom of God is driven by the Spirit. But, it requires revelation. It's driven by the Spirit, but its foundation is revelation. Revelation that is coming from the true Word of God. Now let me put it this way. Do you know what revelation is? Just to give you a loose definition of revelation. We say revelation is those things that are not known being made known. That's revelation in the general sense. When those things that are not known are brought in the open. Revelation simply comes from the word reveal. So what was hidden is being revealed. But here's the thing. Revelation in the kingdom of God is the revealing of that which is true. Revelation is the revealing of that which is true, that was not seen, that was not known. That's revelation. So it's driven by the revealing of that which is truth, because you need truth to abide in the kingdom. May your eyes be open to see the truth. May your ears be open to hear the truth. And may your heart be ready to receive revelation of the truth. Because the truth that has been revealed that you receive is what sets you free. Anybody hearing me? It's the truth that has been revealed that you have received that's going to set you free. And here's the truth we are declaring tonight. The kingdom of God is at hand. Receive it. And your life will never be the same again. There is healing in the kingdom. There is deliverance in the kingdom. There is salvation in the kingdom. Everything that you need, power against the devil, power against the serpents, power against the enemy, is in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom wants expression through you. Receive it. And watch God work. Somebody say amen. And I want to declare one more thing here that I just saw as we're declaring about the kingdom. I just saw serpents. And what I want to say is, Father, whatever the serpent spirit is doing in their life, we command it now to cease in the name of Jesus. Every deceptive work, we command it to be exposed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every whispering tongue that has been whispering against them, we command it to be shut now in the name of Jesus. For your glory, O God, and for your glory alone. What I see, I don't know who it is for. The enemy was ready to strike, but the Lord is raising up a hedge of protection around you in the name of Jesus. All I just see in the spirit is stay on the right side. I don't know who it is for. Stay on the right side. Stay on the right side. That's what the spirit is saying. Stay on the right side. Aye. God help me. Stay on the right side. Stay on the right side. It's going to be okay. Stay on the right side. It's going to be okay. Stay on the right side. It's going to be okay. Father, we thank you for being a God who preserves and being a God who gives life. Thank you for every man, every woman who has taken the time to be on the prayer line tonight. Thank you for what you have imparted unto them, O God, more than words could ever say. You have done excellently and marvelously in our midst. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Numbers chapter number 6, verse number 24 to verse number 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.